Cedric's much more in control of things than I am.
Yes.
She is able to manipulate everybody to the right point, and she keeps a very close eye on the time and the control of everybody.
As far as coercion, mm-hmm. who has better handle on that, Tia or yourself?
Neither of us. Kiri is the coercer.
Okay.
But she is too boisterous to be a ring mistress. But she's too in control. What can you do?
He's changing a light bulb.
Okay.
Light bulb burned out.
Ah.
We don't want to damage the rest of you from Mark's side. I'm pulling your leg back. Okay, do we have...
Yes?
Is the recording device...
Yeah, the recording device, and we have some light.
Yeah. Let there be light.
In that order.
And there was. And I saw that it was good. You know, God was a woman.
Do what? I've always conceived her as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, God would have to be a woman to create men. Got to have a sense of humor.
That's not what I understood.
What do you think, Skip?
I'm not getting into the theology that he is about. I'm just having fun with you guys.
There's no gender for a gun.
Right, it's neither male or female.
Because he was kind of stumbling around when he created man. But when he created woman, he was a finished machinist.
With my dad being a diesel mechanic, I can respect that. What you just said.
Kiri would love that comment.
Oh, we'll get to her one of these days.
Yes, she is. As I said, participating in a major ski.
Well, that's what I understood.
Yeah.
How's she doing? Or do you know?
We don't know yet. We should be getting a live. Well, it's tape delay, 6 hours delay because of the dimensional shift from 6 where we are in 5, and also the distance from Centauri base to here.
Okay.
From Sirius to here, it's a much quicker link. A 2-hour delay.
Yeah.
Okay, did they arrive safely? With the full complement?
Yeah. Everybody showed
up. Like was driving.
Yes. I think the best way to describe Katrina driving a shuttle is giving a Hell's Angel a Rolls Royce drive. Would that be a correct analogy, Russ, that giving Katrina a shuttle to drive is like giving a Hell's Angel a Rolls Royce?
Absolutely.
Yes, she is.
That's great.
That's fine. And she is a bit of a heli. She's an actual fact, what you would call a fighter pilot. And she's real mean behind the controls, apparently.
But she did get the shuttle.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time that she's had to fly in a year.
Okay. So, let's see, what kind of serious questions should we ask you?
Healing. After all, I am a healer.
I've noticed with skiing and working very hard, I'm having some trouble or pain in my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's mostly muscle.
What is happening?
I don't think I hurt myself.
No. Normally what happens is that when you work muscles that haven't been worked hard for a long time, what you're doing is stretching the muscles and making them create new pathways for the blood to flow into so that the muscles can grow. And growing is quite a painful experience. Ask the youngest member here about his growing pains that he's had.
I remember. I'm not that old.
But it is the same. When you work muscles, that you're creating new tissue.
Yeah, he was talking about
that. And the pathways are pumping in so that the areas are a little bit sensitive to touch that start off with. The more you work them, the stronger they become and the quicker they grow. However, the quicker they grow, the more painful they are.
Okay, so the body pain is just from skiing hard and mm-hmm. working hard.
Is it a dull pain or a sharp stabbing pain?
No. I know the difference.
Yeah.
And no, it's nothing chronic.
Okay.
It's a dull, growing kind of pain.
Yeah. And that's what it is that the muscles are growing. And when you ski, you're using different muscles. So by using the different muscles, you're strengthening the muscles that are useful for skiing. And they enlarge. And they get painful as they enlarge. But it's good in the long run, as it makes the bones around the muscles stronger also. For example, if you take one of your people that throw balls in the backfield.
Baseball?
Yeah. And you were to take a slice out of their arm, say here, right? And a slice out of, is this the arm that they use?
Well, it depends. They use one or the other, and some talented people use both.
The throwing arm. Okay? Right. You take a slice out of the non-throwing arm, you slice out of the throwing arm. Now, if you were to compare the bone from the non-throwing arm would be thinner than the arm that is used for throwing. And this can be used for later age to prevent osteoporosis, which I don't think anybody needs to worry about, but for future reference.
But you're saying that athletes will the bone structure mm-hmm. in a limb will actually increase?
That is right.
With an athlete that uses that arm.
Yeah. You have to use it continuously when you get into older age. For example, if you're concerned about thinning of the bones, by exercising, walking, running, whatever, it does increase the strength of the bones. It's also something that can be used to combat arthritis. It's by exercising the bones and the muscle, you get the necessary strength to continue to be able to use your fingers, your arms, your legs, whatever part is suffering from arthritis. So by exercising the whole entire body, you exercise the whole entire bone structure, and in turn, you have a fitter body that is stronger.
Very informative.
Thank you.
Now, I'm coming up with a list, and we've compiled some lists
mm-hmm.
as far as when we get more in a serious survival mode,
mm-hmm.
which we're planning for. Since you're a healer and I'm in the first aid and I happen to be a chef, I'm in the food mm-hmm. and I'm in the healing. Okay. Will you be able to help me with some menu planning?
Certainly. What you mean is high protein. If you are a semi-vegetarian or a normal
I want to be able to cook a nutritional vegetarian diet and being able to supplement it with meat for people who eat meat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, whether you are a meat eater or a non-meat eater, everybody needs protein. And it doesn't matter if you dislike one type of meat or another type of meat. What you can use as a supplement to meat is nuts. Now, there are a vast variety of nuts. You can grind them up together by making them into a paste. You can almost simulate meat. Not quite, but close enough. You can also use mushrooms, again, with the nuts, which will give you a high protein. So in a situation where you collect nuts, you are basically harvesting meat in a different form. In fact, I believe some of your races call the nut a meat, or the meat of the nut.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is the correct terminology.
Yes. So, in essence, it is just as high protein as meat.
So, for example, and I've done this before, mm-hmm. if I did a hazelnut-crusted salmon, mm-hmm. you're looking at a very nutritional, high well-balanced, high-protein dish.
Yes, very
And
high
Russ balance. Would eat it.
Oh, certainly.
I'd like to invite everyone over. Russ is buying, and we're going to have hazelnut-crusted salmon.
Oh, thank you.
Or we could do cashew or pecan, any kind of nut.
I will hold up a UFO and be right there. Okay, anyway, let's get back to the human part.
Okay.
Now, by using correct proteins, you can heal the body in an accelerated method with activity. Physiotherapy is an example. If you eat certain high-protein foods, such as salmon or nuts, you can speed up the healing process because you're getting a high-protein diet into a body, and the body absorbs the protein and helps it to repair itself. So by using high protein, it dovetails nicely with healing, because if you eat a well-balanced meal, your chances of catching ailments is decreased, and the body's repair system is increased.
Excellent. So my question was appropriate. Whether we're in a survival situation or not, mm-hmm. nutrition and eating good and exercise mm-hmm. are important, no matter what.
That is correct. Okay, any more questions for you here?
I know Russ has got some. I don't want to hog this. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies, gentlemen?
Well, I mean, I feel kind of selfish. I got an awful lot of information, or we got an awful lot of information out of you, and I don't want to hog the conversation.
Well, as ring mistress, I will be back, so think of questions, and I shall answer in between the upcoming schedule of two people sitting politely and quietly just outside the pyramid. Yes, it is one of those. But all the participants of the entertainment normally are away, except for one, and myself, of course. So I can hear you. Right, I'm just thinking of the recording device. Yes, Russ has to talk loud, but it's barely registering on the monitor that she's watching.
A little far away.
So Tia is monitoring this?
Yes, she is sitting at the foot of the pyramid with Tien's monitoring devices. Tien is not feeling well.
Is she jealous because you do such a good job?
No. Okay, I will now put on the next test.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Greetings and felicitations, everyone. Greetings, Skip. Greetings, Judy. Greetings, Johnny. Greetings, you old bum.
Is this Omar?
That is correct. It is I.
How are you doing, Omar?
I am functioning within specified parameters.
And how is things on Hades Base and overall?
On Hades Base at the moment, it is very quiet.
How about Earth?
Yeah. Now, I had an interesting discussion
Yesterday evening with one of my staff officers, as you might call them, that is in charge of collecting data on certain projects.
Yes.
And she is having time off at the moment for obvious reasons. But we were discussing...
Here?
Correct.
Okay. Excuse me.
We were discussing computers and the usage of computers in your society.
Yes.
And I will wait for Russ before I continue with my dissertation, as this pertains particularly to him and his new toy. But in the meantime, we will talk amongst ourselves about other things. As I do not wish to have to repeat myself. Do you have a question, Skip?
Nope. I don't think so.
Judy?
No, dear.
Tony?
Yeah, as far as the survival mode we're in, the more I weigh it out in my mind, there's no way we could possibly go wrong. You know, if society doesn't deteriorate the way we think it's going to, we're going to be eating good food and being really well equipped for camping and hunting and having fun.
Yes, it benefits you both ways. For the upcoming possibilities, it gives you numerous avenues to pursue. Now that Russ is back, he lets me continue with my dissertation on computers, computer nets, and websites. Okay, Pia and myself discussed the possibility of creating an information system on a computer pertaining to the upcoming instability. And she has my full blessing in going ahead and helping to create this website. Now, the areas that it would cover would be political unrest on a worldwide level, political instability on a national scale. It would also cover financial instability on a national scale, international scale, and local scale, because each area suffers from many depressions. The instability in California in the mid-80s was not reflected on a larger scale externally, so it is necessary to look at localized instability in the markets. That would be also on the website. Other information on the website would be such factors as the effects of storms on crop areas, the effects of earthquakes on areas, the effects of population on an area. Also, yes, legal decisions. Also on the web would be information concerning the growth of the population, social behavior, moral behavior, the actions and words of political leaders, how trustworthy are the political leaders, how they are behaving, and are they keeping their promises. Everybody knows that politicians do not keep their promises. So it is necessary to remind people to do so. This gives a wide area to give information and to save pain and suffering on the keyboard operator's wrist. I would think that updating it every other day would be sufficient. Do you feel the same way, Russ? If that is what you are happy with. But as the crisis approaches, I think every other day would be better. But in the meantime, the staff offered as a compromise, yes, once every 4 days. Does that sound okay with you? Okay. And that ends my brief dissertation of Tia's website. I believe you discussed a name with Mark.
Ask
what?
Question. Are you going to hook this into internet or?
Yes.
Okay, then when I get my computer, I can hook in with you.
Okay, let us move on. Question.
Go ahead, you guys. Let me just tea. You got some tea?
No.
Yeah, I'd love a cup.
I'm about to bust.
No, just black. You know how I like it. Hot and black.
Okay, let us continue.
Do you want to continue on the same subject, or do you...
if you wish?
Go ahead, Dylan.
Well, I had two questions. I was going to stay in the same subject, but I've got another subject that I'm curious about, okay. And I know you have information about.
Let us deal with one subject at a time. Okay, let us continue on the subject that we are on at the moment.
Okay.
And write down your question so you do not forget, and then we will proceed.
Well, I've got it locked in my mind.
Okay.
Okay. As far as this computer net, will my family,
be able to access the information?
Right.
Certainly.
Okay. And my friend in Sedona who are moving to Idaho also?
If they have a computer terminal and they have access to the internet, they would be able to do so. In fact, if they were in Japan and they have a computer that they are hooked into the international information service on the computer.
And in English.
And they know English. They would be able to access any point in your whole entire planet.
Okay. You know, that's very important, you know, that the other people I care about access information. Because I've got some associates around the country that aren't directly here.
But they would be able to access the information or any information on any subject that is on the internet. They could even talk to you on the computer. Okay. Next question. Judy.
Judy had to use the restroom. Rush walked down, she walked out.
Yes, we do not have any monitors apart from the ones that Tia is watching at the moment. And she is looking very serious.
Where's Tia?
Tia is not feeling very well this evening.
Sorry to hear that.
I understand if it's something that comes with being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be comparable to morning sickness in our dimension?
In any dimension.
Okay. That's nice. No.
However, on the 8th, 9th, and 10th dimension, I don't believe they have morning sickness.
Really stalky.
Yes. Okay. I know on the 7th dimension if you do.
Okay, I have some questions about learning a bit more about Ashtar Command. Even though we've been working on it for so long, now I'm downloading information about Ashtar Command that we haven't presently covered in series before this.
Such as?
Well, first off, the information I'm getting, I want to establish the credibility of the person I'm getting it from first. And this is coming from Commander Lady Athena through Ashtar Athena.
Yeah, I believe that is a prompt.
Okay.
You could say a branch office.
I knew it wasn't a Hades base, but I wanted to make sure it was off maybe one of the city ships or something.
I believe it is from one of our city ships. There are so many that come and go that it is hard to keep track sometimes.
Okay. Well, this is titled Ashtar Command, Our Mission, Purpose, and Directive.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things they're talking about are we already knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, for example, such as they speak on helping humanity with their current cycle of planetary cleansing and polar realignment. Now, we've discussed the issue of polar realignment in the past.
Yes.
And we've established that isn't something that we'll have to deal with in our near future, mm-hmm. much less our far future. So I wanted to get a little more clear about what the references in reference to.
Okay.
Would you like some water or more?
That might be useful. There appears to be a frog in the throat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But in the meantime, let me continue. A polar realignment. You ever heard of polarization?
Polarization? I know it in sunglasses. I don't know what it means.
In a society, you can have polarization.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
For example, you have the poor and the rich.
Right.
And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That is a very easy and simple version of polarization. So the reference,
there you go.
Thank you. I thought you might need the exercise.
Oh, I need it.
Calvin, don't think that it's hard.
3 feet wide, 5 feet wide. Okay, so a polarization is a reference that is being mistaken, or the possibility of it being mistaken.
Okay.
That things in an economic situation, such as the possibility of the crisis upcoming, could be a good example of polarization. You have the rich and the wealthy being able to hire people to protect them and therefore maintain their lands and maintain their style of living by paying people to protect them.
Yeah. Right.
That
was my soda for a minute.
Is it actually more or less like rich and poor trading or coming more closer together or getting farther apart?
Over apart. But one of our aims by giving the information that we've been given is to realign that polarization so it is not as acute as it could be. If you travel around your country, you will notice that there are more poor people than there once were. This is because of two reasons. There are more people is one reason. And the second reason is that the poor stay poor because they feel oppressed, and why should we work when the government will give us handouts?
I also noticed something else in our current situation, the fact that more people are going to a two-job income. Either both people in the family are getting an income, or one person in the family is working two jobs, or possibly both people in the family working two jobs. Does this cut out more jobs for more people do this, whereas it used to be just one job for one person, so everybody pretty much had more jobs available?
It cuts people out of the workforce by people working two jobs for the simple reason that they're taking two people's jobs, which means that the people looking for work are prepared to take less money to fill that position.
Mm.
Yeah, like with our immigrants.
Correct.
I mean, some of my best friends are Latinos, but two of them will do my job for less than what they should pay me for 1 hour.
That's correct.
They can pay two of them for
one hour. And those individuals will frequently work long hours or two jobs.
Is working two jobs... For me, I just moved here. I had a really good job. And I moved here, and it seems like working two jobs to make ends meet is essential. Is that unique to just Lake Tahoe, or is that going to be a
It is not unique to Lake Tahoe. I think the reason why that occurs in particular areas, for example, what is this area? It is a destination resort with seasonal employment in two types of trade. You have the ski industry and the beach industry. And most people in your area will flip-flop from one to the other because It is a transient area. People come in and go in all the time. It means that they don't have to pay as much as a stable area. For example, the beaches of Southern California that are used by people for recreation most of the year. And those periods of time where they're not used, it is where they do the repair work and the reconstruction work and new construction work, which means that there is a steady flow of income by people coming into the area to relax and unwind. They are paying a passable amount of their money to the people that are relaxing or being entertained in the beach environment.
Okay.
You yourself, being from a beach environment for us, understand that very well, the fact that it is a higher standard of living in that area.
Absolutely. Can't afford it.
So they have to pay more money for people to work in that area who can afford it. So the prices are more expensive for the people that come to visit the area. Because it is 10 months out of the year, it is a steadier income, and it is not necessary in that area to work two jobs. Whereas an area where there is a downtime of approximately 4 months, 2 months between each season, on either side of each season, it means that a third of the year is inactive. But there is very little income coming into the area. So, ergo, the standard of living has to be lower, and people have to work two jobs to survive because of the expense of bringing food into a mountain environment. Okay, next question.
Can I shoot one in here?
I'm real curious about earthquake and volcanic activity.
Yes, they are related.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. but I'm interested in them and their increased activity on this planet right now and in the very near future.
There are certain cycles that your planet goes through. It is a heating and cooling process, which on its own will create earthquakes as the planet heats up, the crust expands. And as it expands, there are fractures and tears that are created that give earthquakes. As it cools, again, the same process happens, but in reverse. The crust shrinks, which means that things are getting tighter together, which creates energy and creates activity. Volcanic activity works on the same principle, that as the planet expands, the cracks need to be filled, and lava fills those cracks, and sometimes it comes to the surface. As it cools, the cracks that are filled with lava are squeezed together, and they become active. And it happens on a cycle. You will reach the end of the cycle where activity is minimal, and as it goes back into another cycle, from a heating process to a cooling process, the volcanic activity will increase until it reaches a point where it is at its maximum, and then it will decrease as it sits and waits to be reheated. And as it reheats, again, there is an increase, and then there is a period of time where it sits, where it is warm, and then it cools down, and so on. The process takes anywhere from a few hundred years to a few thousand years. But this is a cycle that has been repeated many times in your planet's history and will be repeated many times again.
All right. Now, that confirms, what your modern, quote-unquote, modern geologists would say, okay? My question is, I didn't ask it correctly, I want to know what stage we're at. I'm thinking that we're going to get increased volcanic and earthquake activity, which also causes avalanches and tidal waves. Am I correct? Are we in a cycle where that activity is going to be increased?
That is the way that it appears at the moment. And it appears to us that you are in actual fact in a cooling state. The temperature of your planet in the last 100 degrees has dropped approximately 0.5 degrees. That may not seem like much to you, but in actual fact, it is quite a lot in 100 years. So to me, it seems that you are in a cooling phase.
Which, with what you said, will increase volcanic and earthquake activity.
Yes.
Which naturally increases avalanches and tidal waves.
And so on.
And, yeah.
Then that confirms what has been put out here just recently, that the Ring of Fire is becoming active again.
Correct. You have many examples. In fact, you can almost pinpoint where the cycle starts to get most active. If you take an eruption, I believe, in 1885 of Mount Krakatoa, which was one of the most largest recorded volcanic explosions in approximately 3,000 years. If you look at that, you can say that is the start of the current cycle. But there have been many volcanoes erupting within the Ring of Fire. There is the activities on the island of Hawaii. There is activities off the islands of Hawaii. There is activity Mount Punasumba.
How about South America?
There has been much activity in South America, even recently.
Yes.
So therefore, you can say that, yes, there is activity occurring, which indicates that there is a cycle in progress. You are not in the waiting period in between. The thing to look at is the temperatures in randomly picked areas. For example, if you take the temperature at the North Pole and the South Pole over 100 years, which unfortunately is impossible, you would be able to see that the temperature is in actual fact decreased. Not very much, as I said, but it has decreased. Now, when a cooling cycle occurs, there becomes an increased activity in rainfall. And rainfall in a cooling environment creates more snow. So there can be many periods in between or during a cycle where things actually warm up and you have mini droughts. Again, you can have areas where there are mini ice ages. I believe you could say that you're almost in one there.
Are we approaching an ice age? Oh.
Sorry, it's very dry sometimes.
But what, your sense of humor?
Yeah.
Or the snow?
My sense of humor.
Snow is too, ideally.
Ideally, yes, I believe so. You would have to talk to our ski experts, but they are unavailable at this time for comment.
You don't ski yourself, do you?
I haven't skied in many thousands of years. I do not have the time anymore. Whereas you complain of working 7 days straight, I complain when I work 7 years straight. But let me get back to cooling of the planet. Many ice ages can last anywhere from 20 years to 100 years. And many ice ages, not necessarily huge sheets of ice descending over the planet's surface. In actual fact, it could be a period of time where snow activity is 200, 300, or even 400%, and further south than it has been in 20, 30, or 40 years.
Are we in that situation right now?
There is that possibility that you are, but it is too early to tell at this time.
And that could, doing economic things and natural disasters, the combination could really snowball on itself, so to speak.
That is correct. That would be something very important to have in your website, is weather activity, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I will leave that for Tia to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more questions?
Okay. Skip. Not on the same subject, Duncan.
It's a different subject.
You made a comment one time.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not only a healer, but I'm a manifester.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that, please?
A manifester is having the ability to create things. Hold up your wrist. What do you have on your wrist?
Wrist watch and a copper bracelet.
Who made that copper bracelet?
I did.
That is one side of a manifester, to create. And the manifest doesn't necessarily mean to create out of thin air.
Okay, that's kind of
confused.
Yes.
But it is a step to creating out of thin air. Mark is a manifestor.
Mm-hmm.
Does he show any signs of manifestor?
He's building these airplanes.
Mm-hmm. And writing his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, setting fire to the wings of his aircraft by thinking about it. Do not laugh.
I'm not laughing.
Russ is.
I didn't realize it was doing that.
No, from time to time he does burn things unintentionally. He used to, I believe, sweep with a fire extinguisher next to his bed. A lot of good that would have done him if he had manifested fire in his sleep and burnt down the wall.
Mark slept with a fire extinguisher next to his bed? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
Okay. Not Russ out of fear of Mark's insane ability.
This
but it was Mark who slept next to a fire extinguisher.
Yes.
In case he woke up in flames?
Or woke up with something burning at hand.
Has that happened to Mark?
Not that I'm aware of. It seems that it is the ability to create something out of nothing is there within Mark, that it is, to use a very fitting expression, the flames of manifesting haven't been fanned to create things out of thin air, but they have been fanned to create things on paper or by wood.
Now, would you say that Mark's ability to astral travel and channel have helped him to control this ability naturally? Is that correct?
In a strange sort of way, yes. Mark is more focused on his astral travel, which means that he has less energy for other pursuits. The only other pursuit that he uses on a daily basis is his coercive ability.
Can I ask you questions about coercion?
Certainly. As our resident coercer is at evening, you may.
Can you use coercion with animals and machines?
Machines, they do not have a mind to think with. But animals, most certainly.
Like an attacking dog.
Certainly.
You can definitely coerce them out of running the other way.
Correct. If you look at the felines around the house, I am sure that Kiri will come.